This is the largest study of its kind in Australia, and it follows 10,000 kids from the time in the womb until the age of five. And now the Origin study, based out of the Joondalup Health Campus, has its first group of five-year-old graduates. Researchers have been trying to improve child and adult health by uncovering the causes of chronic conditions like asthma, allergies, mental health issues, ADHD, autism. You're going to meet one of the mums who volunteered to take part in this study. I wonder what she found out about one of her kids. But first, let me welcome Professor Desiree Silva, the Director of Origins. Desiree, welcome to you.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Is this rather special that you've got your first crop of five-year-olds?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, we've been going now, obviously, for a few years. We're into our 5.5 years, I guess. And having these gorgeous little kids, watching them, you know, from the time, you know, mum was pregnant and then them enrolling into the study and seeing them at 1, 3 and then 5 years of age, taking loads of samples from them, asking parents lots of questions, and really trying to understand why there are such elevated problems in terms of, you know, why is there such an increase in obesity, allergies, asthma, all these things you just mentioned. We know that quite a lot of these issues are pre-programmed early in the womb and in early life. So if we can understand it better, we can then work out how we can prevent this from happening.
And what is it like to have access to, what is it, more than 16,000 parents and kids? That is a tremendous sample size. Does it come with its challenges too?
Look, it certainly does. And over COVID, it's been pretty tough trying to make sure that we, you know, keep our commitment, make sure that we see these parents and kids and refer them on appropriately. You know, we've just got a fabulous team. Like, honestly, I can't tell you how wonderful they are in terms of making sure that the project is successful. But without our fabulous team, we couldn't do it. But then we've got these parents, these families who are willing to give their time and all their samples. You know, we've
yes.
got freezers full of all sorts of different samples.
So what is it that you ask of families and those kids?
So we basically, you know, see them mums in pregnancy, and we collect lots of information on things like what they eat, the stress they're under, you know, how well they sleep, anxiety, exposure to nature, also the exposure to some electronics that they use. And then we collect samples like blood, urine, stool, whatever we can get, we get, and saliva. And then, of course, as the kids grow up, you know, when they basically are delivered, you know, we get their cord blood and meconium, which is the first pool that babies produce.
Yes.
They're all, you know, they tell you lots of things, you know, breast milk. And then, you know, further along, we ask more questions, but also collect various samples at 1, 3, and 5 years of age. So it's really exciting. But you know, the other thing is collecting samples is fabulous, but you need to collect them correctly and properly, because we're doing quite a lot of work now looking at microplastics and exposure in pregnancy and early childhood. And if we live in a plastic world, so really trying to collect samples correctly is really important in order that we can, you know, discover and understand why our kids are struggling a bit in certain areas.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Professor Desiree Silva, the co-director of Origins, is my guest on the program this afternoon. Are you able to give us a little sense of some of the things that may have surprised you about both mum and dad, and then also about what you've learned about little kids and things like low iron levels in some of those kids?
Yeah, look, Jeff, it was really interesting. I mean, what we do is part of the study, which is not sort of standard in every study, we give them real-time feedback. So it's a real advantage because, you know, we can identify things early and try and direct them to an appropriate service. You know, you've talked about the lack of paediatricians and allied support before, so
yes.
It's really quite a special group of kids that have this advantage. But with our real-time feedback, we collect all these blood samples, which, you know, is tough for some of the parents and kids, but we give them this feedback on their iron levels. And so parents are willing for this to be done because we know how important, you know, having a healthy iron stores are, you know, they, if you have low iron stores, you know, you can have increased levels of anxiety, you can have developmental issues, it affects your immune system, sleep, behavior, all sorts of things. So we give them their feedback on their iron, and it surprised us because we wouldn't have tested it otherwise, you know.
Yeah. And the
low iron, we found that, you know, at 1 year of age, 30% of babies had iron levels below the international recommendation, and 50% in our 3-year-olds. So that is
do you know why that is
a big issue. It's probably related to the food, the actual intake of food, but we've got to understand and study this far more. I think there's a much bigger story here that we need to look at. I mean, the other area which I think you alluded to was the mental health. So at 1 year of age, we found that 54% of children were living in a home where at least one parent had experienced a mental health diagnosis. And that really shows that, you know, we need to support our parents and families so much more right from the very start, because these kids do tend to then have an increased risk of mental health issues, which then becomes a problem as they're growing up.
Of course, and you're offering us these fantastic insights into lots of kids, and it's not hard to broaden that across our community and our society and say this is what life is like for these mums and dads and these kids, so we have to pay it close attention. Do you need any more kids? Do you need another couple of thousand?
we actually, we're finishing our recruiting. This is our active recruiting. So that's where the kids have all their samples taken at the end of the year, which is very sad. But the trouble is funding is always an issue where we've got to stop at some point. But we continue with our non-active participants. That's just taking some routine data, which is really important as well. And we're doing that for another year and a half. All good things. They've got to slow down. But I think that it is so important to be able to identify issues early and provide these children with the right intervention at the right time, because they all deserve the best. You know, we've got to give them the best to reach their potential.
Well, it's just the most magnificently interesting project, and the work you do, the benefits of which may not be felt for a little while yet. Desiree Silva, thank you so much for speaking to me this afternoon.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Professor Desiree Silva, the co-director of Origins. Let's meet one of the mums involved in Origins. Emily Falkingham has two kids in the study, Matilda and Ethan. Emily, hello to you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Why did you put your hand up for this?
Well, I kind of owe them. They helped save my son's life, potentially, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Okay, then you've just given us a rather huge headline that they helped solve your son's life. Tell me what we need to know about Ethan and a skin prick test.
Yeah, so basically I was part of it with Matilda because I wanted to, help future generations, and it's really easy to be a part of. But since I had Ethan, my little allergy boy, we found out everything that's basically wrong with him in a really routine, systematic way. So we did the normal skin prick test, which is at 12 months, and he's so highly anaphylactic to cashew that if we were out in the community and we, gave him a cashew, or someone just did a trace of cashew, he would have gone into anaphylaxis. We wouldn't have had an EpiPen. We would have known, and he could have potentially died. So, by the time you call the ambulance, they get to you, give him the EpiPen, it could have been too late. So, yeah, I'm forever in their debt.
Wow. So when they say, we need the kids to come in, or could you please bring their poo in for us to have a look at, it's not an issue for you, is it, Emily?
Definitely not. Like, I found out both kids are iron deficient, so they're on their iron. I would have known that otherwise, and he's got a whole list of allergies, but, that's the big scary one that, he's still, running around driving me crazy. So he's as healthy as kid as possible because we found out everything early.
Oh, that is fantastic. Emily, thank you so much for speaking to me. It is such a great program and a great story. Emily Falkingham, part of that too. Yes, they need more kids. Be good if you could provide your kids for that purpose. Look at the benefit of really great scientific research, which we have in this state. So when we talk about public hospitals being third world, when we talk about all that is wrong, we also need to acknowledge sometimes how absolutely extraordinary some of this stuff is.